is the single-family home passing. This is a fascinating piece in USA Today. The single-family house, an American icon, faces an uncertain future. And in this piece, they talk about, well, we've seen it here in Los Angeles because of the move for density. The concept of the single-family home is actually under attack as both untenable because of affordability issues and also because of environmental issues. Let's talk about this with a man who probably knows as much about the American city and specifically Los Angeles as anybody. He's a professor at Chapman University, the author of The Human City, Urbanism for the Rest of Us, our friend Joel Kotkin. Joel, welcome back. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, it's nice to be here.
Over the weekend, a friend of my wife's stopped by the house on his way down to San Diego. And he lives in San Francisco, and he was actually kicking tires on making a move from San Francisco because of financial concerns. And he mentioned, you know, we were just talking about the price of housing, et cetera, in the big cities. And he even mentioned the issue of environmental, the single-family home, and it's not being environmentally sustainable as the population increases. This is something that never even occurred to me would become an issue, but for people of a certain perspective, that's becoming an issue.
Well, it certainly is, and I think, you know, a lot of it is based on a lot of misconceptions. In a recent collection of essays on suburbia that I did with Alan Berger at MIT, we pretty well lay out in that book all the various arguments that have been made against suburbs, but that a lot of them really don't stick. In other words, suburbs are in many ways very good in terms of if they're tree-lined, if they're near where people work. In many ways, they're more sustainable than the big cities. And this fantasy that our political leaders have that, well, if we pack everybody together and make the freeways really unpleasant, people will start taking transit and that will reduce energy use. Actually, what you end up with is terrible congestion, more energy expenditure, less efficiency. So, you know, but essentially what we have is an agenda that's been there really on and off for 50 years. People, particularly in the sort of intellectual and media and academic circles, have always disliked suburbia. They've always looked down on the single-family house, and they have a particular vision, and they'll keep using whatever excuse they can use to say, oh, what we really want is more density. The problem is, most people don't want it, and I think we still live in a democracy. We'll see for how long. And if most people, don't want to live the way the cognitive elites want them to live, there's going to be a conflict.
And the conflict comes because a lot of the long-term planning, and in many cases short-term planning, is done at the municipal level or the county level, and it's done by these nameless, faceless boards that nobody's paying any attention to whatsoever, and decisions just get made, and all of a sudden you've got this fantastic new project going up in your community that completely can change the character of your neighborhood, and it's like all of the money and all of the power is lined up to make that go forward, and it's like a Sisyphean task to try to, stop it.
Yeah, I think this is very much the case. I mean, recently this bill by Senator Wiener of San Francisco, which would essentially allow developers to go into almost any neighborhood within a half mile of a transit stop, which, in an urban area like Los Angeles and certainly San Francisco, would be the entire city, was finally rejected. And it was interesting. It wasn't rejected by Republicans. It was rejected by Democrats from places like San Francisco, places like L.A. L.A. City Council voted 13-0 against it because fundamentally, at some level, people want some control over what their neighborhoods are like. The beauty of L.A., and I've written about this and seen it, has always been that you can live in a single-family house in something kind of a suburban environment, but still live in a great big city. If you begin to force the densification of the city, which is what's been happening, you get terrible traffic. Los Angeles simply was not built to handle this sort of density. Most of the city, as you can tell, if you build in Culver City and you have a huge amount of density in Culver City, you change the nature of the city, and also people who live there tell me it takes 20 minutes to even get on the freeway. And the reality is the transit is not going to work very well in L.A. We've spent $15, $16 billion on a rail system, and we have fewer riders than we did 25, 30 years ago.
Talk to us just from your perspective. We know that we have a tremendous housing crisis in certainly the city of Los Angeles, and affordability for this entire region is becoming a real problem. And we're not producing jobs. You know, a lot of the service sector jobs are making it very, very difficult for people to live within a reasonable distance of where they work. If you're a barista or you're working in any kind of a service sector job, where you're supposed to live in this area is becoming a real puzzle for folks. So what is the answer? How do we build housing for service workers in an area where the footprint has to be on land? The footprint for that building has to be on land. That's exceptionally expensive.
Well, I think there are three things that we have to be looking at and to really address this. One, you start with your first point. We're an expensive area, but Southern California is simply not creating enough high-wage jobs. Not enough people could afford the rents or even to buy a house, obviously, in the long run. So you've got the problem that our economic development strategy, which has been very oriented towards hospitality, tourism, has been very tough on the industrial sector, which paid better. We're not creating enough high-wage jobs. We're not very competitive with Silicon Valley. Even our information sector, which is heavily oriented towards entertainment, is actually been shrinking. So, you know, that's the first thing. The second thing is we have many opportunities to build housing on what will be increasingly redundant retail space. The great thing about building in retail space is you already have the parking, you already have the infrastructure, you have the water, you have the power, and you're not going into somebody's neighborhood.
Hey, Joel, as always, thank you so much. Appreciate it.